session number 11314, reel 6.
Departure for reel 6. So you said you were hoping you were going home.
Hope we're going home. Right. We goes back to Malta. And we get the call to go to Gibraltar. It appears that there's a supply ship coming from Japan, full of rubber, and it must, no way must it get to Germany. So we goes full blast, and it was rough. It was Christmas Day. We started. That'd be 1944.
1943.
No, yeah, Christmas 43. That's right, because we got, wasn't it? And we flew through the Mediterranean. It was rough. We get to Gibraltar. We've done it in record time. We old ship, and away we goes in the Atlantic. Very rough. No one was allowed up top. It was that rough. And it told us that there were so many ships from all angles closing in on this blockade runner. And another day went by. Anyway, just as when we was getting in action for it, the ref went out and sunk it. the ref went and got it, so all our effort was in vain. So we was more nearer to England than we was Gibraltar. So they said, right, you're going home to England to refuel. Didn't say you was going to go home, just refuel. So we rushed in the canteen, we bought all the stuff up so we can parcel up so that we can send it home to our loved ones, you know. And we got within half a day or a day of England when they discovered there was so many German destroyers coming out to escort this blockade runner in. So the Navy decided to have a go at them. So, of course, we all turned round to go back again. And we must have been the farthest away because we could hear the running commentary of it. And by the time we were at action stations ready, but when we got there, before we got there, we'll say within an hour of it, they'd scarpered. They'd sunk three or four, I think they had, and they'd scarpered to Heligoland Bight. Is the name of the word? Heligoland. So they'd got in out of the way, but we was more near then to the Azores. You know the Azores?
Yes.
So we had to go in there to oil up, so that finished us going home. If we come out, and we come out the Azores, went to Gibraltar, oiled up again, and went back to Malta for Anzio.
What do you remember about Anzio?
The Anzio, as I say, we was there quite some time, Anzio, up and down.
What job was Penelope doing at Anzio?
Yeah. Pardon?
What job was Penelope doing at Anzio?
Helped land, landing. We assisted the Yankee fleet. We
didn't have any troops on board?
No, we didn't. We couldn't land troops. They was... what's that? No, we was there to protect them, or barrage, put shells along the beach, blow up the mines, anything that might be there. But we stopped there because they was in trouble again. And that's, as I say, that's when we got aircraft used to come over every so often, and then he started closing in again, Jerry's. We used to go out and Naples was our base. We called in Naples. What's that island that Gracie Fields had?
Capri.
Capri. It's right near there. Very nice. used to pass it every time we went out there. And what we used to do now, Jerry had got the ranger of the beach, and he was attacking all suppliers, landing craft and that, because we had to go out and tackle them. And that's what we'd done for days. We used, 24 hours about. We went out one day and kept having a go at them, and they kept having a go at us. So what they used to do, the Jerrys, they used to one gun would fire, it'd get right near you, and just when he's going to straddle you, so all the other guns would open up, so because you had to scoot away quick and then start again. Well, we'd done that for 24 hours, and then we come back to Naples, and our sister ship, the Aurora, went back and took our place, and that went on for a couple of weeks. Of course, the Aurora got damaged and couldn't go out, so of course we had to take her place, and that's about 7:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning. This is the part I remember quite vivid. 6:30 in the morning, it was the first explosion. Now, everybody thought it was a mine because it caught right on the screws, right on the edge of the. We swung round, so we knew we didn't have any leeway, so the screws must have been damaged. So, of course, there was quite a commotion there. They were getting the wounded up, and people were dead, like that. And that's when I said to you that this is where fate took a twist. I was Ed Messman. I was only in this young chap there, Robertson his name was. I said, well, look, the boys are wanting their tea just the same. Life carries on, even though we've hurt. We've got to carry on. I said, I'll go and get the tea, you go and get the breakfast. See? When I went and got the tea, it was about 10 minutes, and come back, he was still there. And I said, I told you to get the breakfast. He said, it's no good of you getting the breakfast. He said, that the cooks that are helping the wounded. I said, get in there and get in the queue. I said, we've got to have breakfast. I said, these blokes that's coming up awful work, because they've got their head, all technicians and POs, you know what I mean? I said, they're not in there. They want their breakfast. They carry on. And I snatched the cloth. I snatched the cloth out of his hand, and I walked. I tell you, it's a complicated walk out, and I just got out there when it happened. I tried to get up the ladder, but it was an ammunition locker. I said, "Something that's going to fall on me if I go in any further." So I come down. The reason why I went to go over the other side, because the tin fish had hit there. And if I was going in, rush of water, it's going to take me in with it, isn't it? So, because I said, right, over the other side. Because this ammunition locker was going like that, and I said to myself, if it's not welded, I'm in for it, it's going to trap me. It's going to, what's the name? So I come down the ladder, and as I did, I went straight under the water. And I shot out, and I swear to declare that when that ship went down, I was there, and the ship's bows was there as it was going down. I could see them screaming on the forecastle. They were trying to jump, and they were jumping onto the gun, smashing themselves up on the gun. Well, I was that near the bridge, a pillar drops off, a watertight pillar, and I happened to grab hold. That's all I had. That was the same. I see two or three folks must have killed themselves, because we had 6-inch guns, and the folks was a long way from the guns, and they was jumping and hitting that instead of hitting the water. I suppose they couldn't do that. And I got this, what's the name, this, what's the name, and I went under. It dragged me under the suction, but it, thank goodness it couldn't have been much, because I said to myself, keep fighting, keep swimming, you won't know you're drowning. That's the words I thought, you know, I said to myself, keep drowning, you won't know you're drowning, you won't know you're drowning, see. And of course, I come up. And I hadn't gone up about, what, a minute, 2 minutes, and a hand grabbed me, like that. I knew it, a bloke couldn't swim, because I'd already saved a bloke's life, and I made a mistake of getting close to him. The first one had got me by the neck. I couldn't breathe. I had to dive quick to get out of his clutches. And, but when that bloke grabbed me the second time, I was ready. I said, hold it there. What do you want, mate? He said, I can't swim, mate. I said, all right, don't panic. There's a pillar there, that's airtight, that's it. Let go of him. So let go of me. See? And he let go of me, and I said, now, what we're going to do is find a spar. I said, you can't swim, you hang on to a spar. And after about 10 minutes, I see it wasn't enough for two, enough for one. I said, there you are, you hang on to that, you hang on to that pillar. I said, whatever happens, you hang on to that. I said, it's no good for two of us, because it would go under. I said, I'll go and find another one. But honestly, all I wanted to do was get away so I can save my own life. That's the way you go, I suppose. It is the way life is. And I swam again round, and I see a spar with, I think there's four on it. Anyway, I went and got hold of it, and there was a yeoman, chief yeoman, there was the painter, P.O. painter. There was an officer, an engineer officer, and there was a stoker, right? Well, I hung on to that, what's the name, and this yeoman kept dropping his head down like that. I kept pushing it up without. So I said to the officer, I said, sir, I said, the yeoman keeps dropping his head, I can't keep him up, because I'm hanging on my way and pushing him out the other one. So he says, try and put his... He didn't have Wellingtons on, he had leather boots. You know, big, long leather boots with big stockings. He said, try and get them off, because I tried, I couldn't get them off, see. So, because nothing was said, and when I looked again, he was down there, see. So I said, I can't help him. So he says, no, he's dead, push him away. The other one, the painter, he was screaming all the time. He was injured somewhere, we didn't know, but we've since found out that he had all his ribs crushed. And as I say, we looked after him. Anyway, the landing craft come in sight. I see him pick up a few, and a spar come by, and I grabbed hold of the spar, put it alongside, so it made two, and we helped the what's under go in the middle, take a bit more out of the water, the painter. But the officer Sejovic, I think his name was, he was an engineer officer. He sounded like either a Czechoslovakian or a Polish officer, I wouldn't know what it was. He said, I'm going to have a swim towards the landing craft. And the stoker said to me, you go. And I said, no. I said, don't you go. I said, I've already been sunk on one ship, I said, and being clever swimming, I said, I nearly done myself in. I said, you got that spar, you're safe forever on a spar, as long as you keep yourself warm. You keep with me and you'll be all right. See? And off went the Sejovic. He went. And they left just the three of us. They left the stoker, me, and this poor old painter who was screaming. Well, the old landing craft, what he was doing, he was swimming in arcs like that. They say there's no tide in the Mediterranean, but I'd like to know why we was being swept by. Seven times we got swept by that thing, by the landing craft, and each time they managed to get a couple, and then they'd all gone again, and they'd do it again. Well, I've got another spar. I think I've got four spars altogether. If it had gone on, I'd had a raft. You know, I could have rowed ashore. But while we were there, this is another thing to know. I mean, I don't want to say it, but it's really true that there was a long spar. I should say there was about 8 or 9 on it. And who was on it? They were screaming, shouting out help. I said to myself, that's unusual. Look, after being sunk the first time, we had never none of that. And I couldn't understand. Anyway, when I looked, the skipper's amongst them. But he was ever so quiet, he looked as if he was dying then, I suppose. I didn't know he was dying. And I said to myself, well, you thought the skipper would fetch a bit of order, right? Pull yourself together, lads, and all that. See, because, anyway, we drifted by, we drifted around. And eventually, we got near enough to the landing craft, and there was an army sergeant that was down on the bows. You know these flaps that go down?
Yes.
He was there, and he was singing out an evening line. He slung it out, and I managed to grab hold of it and wrap it round. Last name there. But the...
Wrap it round what?
Wrap it round the spar, you know, the spars. So we... last name. And it kept going up and down, you know, the big ramp there. If you didn't watch out, you were going to be caught underneath it, like, you know. And the wave kept whacking it up and whacking it down like that, so we had to judge it. And they said, come on. I said, no, we'll get rid of this painter first. This is a stoker. And we tied him to my thing, and said, right, got him in there. He screamed dead of a lot doing it. Anyway, we finally made it, got on there, on the landing craft. And when we got up there, there's old Bob, my mate, my Oppo, he was there. He'd met a cousin. His cousin was in the Queen's Royals or something, the army. He was just going to land in Andio. And he gave him a pair of boots, he gave him an overcoat, rigged him out something to smash him. Anyway, they come round, brought us down a double rum. Each man had a double rum. And we found out that the skipper, he died. His last bit of breath, as they pulled him up, so he died. So he, as I say, he must have been dying then. Because mind you, he was in the First World War. I suppose he was, you know, a bit old. And from there, I looked over the side, and that fella that I'd given him a pillar to and put him on a spar, I was pleased. He was still in the water, and he was, there wasn't so many about then, and he was still floating all right. I said, well, he must have made it. But I don't know him from Adam. I keep thinking I've found him, but I haven't. There's one thing I've got to check, and there's that one bloke at Norfolk from Lowestoft. It must be him. But then again, I said to myself, a boy from Lowestoft, surely he'd be able to swim. See, on the coast, isn't it? So it wouldn't be him. So I don't know who it was. But I know I saved him. I know he was saved. Because he was the last one, one or two just floating around. And they wouldn't leave him, would they? They'd go after him. So, anyway, we were taken from the landing craft to... I was trying to name the ship. It was a big ship, I can't remember at the moment, but it's a big troop ship, one of these Empress of Britain or something like that, or something, some big name. And we got aboard there, and of course I was feeling a bit rough. And all of a sudden, with survivors, please go and get blankets. No, toilet stuff. We're washing them, rough time. And I said, oh, Bob, get it for it, Bob. He come back there. I was feeling ill. another like with the landing with the survivors, please go so and so. So I said, get that for us, Bob. He got it. Then about half an hour later, he said, survivors, will you please come and get your blankets? And I said, yeah. He said, you go and get it yourself. He said, see, I'm your lackey. That's in that low, over and over again, see? See, so because why I had to go and get it. But in the, we went to bed, we didn't have any, what's that, we just had something to eat and that was all. And we had to, it was a night out, I know, we slept aboard that, that night, on board the, what's that, and then I felt ever so ill. So I went up to the sick bay and I said to the orderly, not the doctor, give us a couple of aspirins, I don't feel so good. Can't do that. I said, I only want a couple of aspirins, I don't want to see the doctor. He said, no. He said, you see the doctor. Well, they put the wind up me. He come in, he says, what's there? So he laid me down, and the first words he said to the orderly, what's wrong with him? Now you know what's wrong with him. You're right, mate. What's wrong with him? Because I wonder what was happening. He said, no. Right, we'll get you better. Yeah, we'll get you better. See? So I said, what's wrong? He said, you've got double pneumonia, and you've got to be peace and quiet. And they put me in a private ward. And when I got in there, another a Marine was in there. He must have been in the same state as me, because about a day later, one of the young stewards came in and said, are you the two that's dying? I said, get out, I ain't dying. I said, you worry about me, mate. I said, all right. I think I'm going to die. I'm not. But my mate come in, old Bob, because we got to Naples by then, and the ship was going on to England. My ship was going on, the one I was in was going on to England, and old Bob come in and say bye bye, and he said, I'm ever so sorry. He said, I didn't know you was ill like that. So I said, well, would you make, because he lived near me, he lived in East Ham, West Ham, West Ham, East Ham. I lived in Cheltenham. My mum lived in Woolwich, actually. I said, well, would you drop over and see the folks for me? So he said, you'll be home before me. I said, no. I said, they're dropping me off at Algiers. Algiers.
To a hospital.
Yeah, and 95th General. And that's where I went. And I was there, I was in 95th for about 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks.
Recuperating from pneumonia?
No, I didn't get recuperated. I still had lung something, what's the name there? It took a long while. And oil. My stomach's never been right since. That's why I don't drink. I don't drink now. I'll have a shandy quite near, but my lining's gone. And if I do rum or anything like that, it's gone. It's no good. They said I should have had a hurt certificate. When I went down, I told you, I was that near the ship. I must have swallowed load. I was fetching up oil, what do you call it?
Fuel oil.
Fuel oil all the time. But it must have burnt the insides out. And I had to stay in there a long while. And then, instead of sending me back to the Navy, they sent me back to rehabilitation, 19 miles from Algiers.
This was a centre, was it?
Pardon?
This was a rehabilitation centre.
Yeah, well, it was a camp under tents. And I stopped there for about 3 or 4 months. I met Kelly, Major Kelly. He was reading the book about the Penelope. He said, you off? I said, yeah. He said, I'm reading about it. I said, well, you won't read about it no more. So he said, well, is it drunk? I said, well, I can't tell you that. I said, you can't read about it no more. So he said, well, you can stay as long as you like, as long as you obey the rules. See? So the first week I done nothing. And next week we played a medicine ball. And next week you walked a quarter mile or a mile. And the next thing you started doing 4 miles. Then you do a cross-country run. And then the eighth week you finish up doing 18-mile walk. 9 miles there, 9 miles back. See? Well, I'd done it all right. I mean, I was getting better all the time. But there's a lot of poor levers didn't. But they reckon they was putting it on so they wouldn't go back to the front. It was clever like that, you know. So anyway, I only forgot it once. And I was back, they sent me back to Hannibal, HMS Hannibal. That is a shore base in Algiers. From there, I went back to Malta. Now, don't forget, you might have seen my book, I've dressed up in an army uniform. You see that, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, I had that army uniform all the time I was in the hospital and in a rehabilitation camp. And when I went up to Malta, I didn't see it. When I got in there about 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon, because you have to get from ship, and it takes a day or two to get from Algiers to Malta. And evidently they had on there, people without kits got a report. Well, I didn't see it. I thought I was going home. My mate and everybody been home months. All got home. They all went home straight away. The penultimate survivors went home straight away. Because I thought I was going home. Anyway, I got in there at 4:30. The next morning, I got a draft. I got a draft to another ship. Now, because being clever, I said, went up there, I said, what's this draft here? I said, you've got to report so and so, what's that? Because I had a gunnery rate, see, they went into the AA3s. You've got to report to so and so. So I said, I can't. He said, why? I said, I've got no kits. He said, I'm going to put you on a charge. He said, not reporting, you've got no kit. I'd been out of the hospital. I was like, here. He gave me a check to go down to San Angelo. That was the stores barracks at Malta. I got there, I should imagine I got about 2 o'clock. That's the next day. And the officer there came in and said, good Lord, lad. He said, they've wasted no time on you. He said, you've only just come out of hospital so-and-so day. I said, well, that's it. I said, I expect you're going to see me off. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, when I got sunk last time, I said, and Alex, I said, I had no, they'd so many sunk, I didn't have any, I was trying to take a 44, and they was giving me 36 or something like that, and saying, well, make use of it. I said,
44 ways?
Yeah, or 40 ways, and they was giving me 36. See, and all like that, things that were given no good to me, but I was glad to just go and say you got it. I had to go, in the end, I had to go and gladly get my kit, buy my own kit eventually. And I said, I expect you'll rob me like that I got last time. So he said, what do you mean? And I told him, he said, well, I won't rob you, he says. And he didn't, he gave me the best of everything. AB's only supporting to a little tiny case like that. The PO is a big leather, green case. You've seen them, the big cream one. I got one of them. He said, "Your watch, how much your watch cost?" I said, "I never had one."